equivalent of Merry Christmas. We need something like that because this day is as big a day, if not even bigger, than Christmas, when we celebrate Jesus coming in the flesh. Because today we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming into our flesh. Jesus was God with us, and he sent the Spirit who is God in us. So this is huge. And for reasons I don't yet understand, we don't decorate a tree. We don't spend weeks planning what gifts we're going to give those we love. We don't revive the economy with a Black Sunday of Pentecost. An observance of God's Spirit being sent by the ascended Jesus to live in us. This is huge. When we get to this part of Jesus' story, we get a little confused. Because it took a long time to get our heads wrapped around the idea that God has visited us in the person of Jesus. It took a long time for humanity, for us to realize that in Jesus, the Trinity put on flesh. And God actually lived among us and walked among us, revealing what the Father was like. And the God in the flesh in Jesus died for us and for our sins, and being raised from the dead allowed us to be raised from the dead too. It took a long time to get our heads around that. It's a lot to grasp, to imagine, to believe. So when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, the least he could do is have stuck around for a few thousand years so we could all experience his incarnation and his resurrection. But Jesus seemed in a hurry to move on. He lingered among us only 40 days, just long enough to convince the disciples that he was truly alive, that they weren't imagining it, long enough to feel like they had the proof they needed to convince others that this really happened. Jesus was raised from the dead. And once he had confirmed that for everyone, then Jesus ascended to the Father, as we read this morning, and he took his resurrected human body with him. He returned to heaven, taking our humanity in his flesh into the presence of the Trinity. But what was Jesus's hurry? It seemed he had something better to offer us than his resurrected presence still walking among us. He has something more amazing to offer than his body with his crucifixion wounds, century later, still speaking parables and doing miracles in one corner of the world. You see, if Jesus returned to the Father, he could then send the third person of this Trinity, the Holy Spirit, in his place. And while it would be cool to have a resurrected physical Jesus, he could only be in one place and one time in this created world, where the Spirit could be in all places at all times in each of us, bringing God close within us. So Jesus said, "Wait here." As he told his disciples goodbye, as he was ascending back to heaven, he said, "Wait. Wait here. Wait for the promise. Wait for the time in which you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive power, and you'll become my witnesses. Wait for that." So let's unpack that just a little bit. Jesus said you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized with God's Spirit. They already had known something about baptism. Baptism was something that they allowed to happen to them to signify the new life that they'd begun by following Jesus. They'd all been baptized. Baptism was an event. Baptism was a choice of theirs. Baptism happened to them. It wasn't something that they did to themselves. Baptism was their way of saying, "I'm all in." And it's God's way of saying that back to them. To be honest, I think that the Orthodox and the Baptists get baptism better than Presbyterians. We're just too constrained in our baptisms. It's hard to tell that anything's happening when you just sprinkle children and adults, there must have been a drought going on when they came up with this method. Water restrictions. Even babies aren't surprised when we sprinkle water on their head. Now, the Orthodox, they know how to do it. When they're baptizing babies, they take the baby, they turn it upside down, and they dunk its head in the water 3 times. And that baby knows that something has happened to them. They know they've been to church that day. And Baptists, you know you're all in when you're baptized as a Baptist. I was baptized as a 12-year-old in a Baptist church. And I don't remember a lot about my childhood, but I remember that. I remember stepping down the steps into the baptismal pool, which is at the front of the sanctuary. I remember wading out to the pastor with my handkerchief in hand. And I remember the pastor asking me to profess my faith. I don't remember exactly how that happened, if I was answering questions or if I just told my testimony. But then I remember the pastor telling me to put my hands over my chest like this. Then he took the handkerchief and covered my face with it and then tilted me back under the water and brought me up. Now, I can tell you that is an act of trust. Trust that he's not going to drop me. Trust I'm not going to drown. Trust he's going to take his hand off my mouth so I can breathe. You come up out of the water sputtering. You come up dripping wet in front of the congregation. They may clap. You know you've been to church. You know something happened. Jesus promised they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit, that something would be done to them to signify that they're all in and that God is all in them. So Pentecost was just that kind of experience, a baptism. It had sounds, a loud sound like the rush of hurricane force winds, and it filled the room. It was surround sound. It had sights, the image of individual flames of fire that were in the center of the room and then separated and hovered over each of them and landed on them. It had sensations. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Somehow they knew that, they sensed that God's Spirit had been poured into them in a physical, felt reality. And then they began to speak with Spirit-empowered speech, proclaiming the wonders of God, with words that were not their own, so that everyone who heard them understood what they were saying, no matter what language they spoke. The disciples knew that they'd been to church. They knew something had happened. And everyone around them, at least those who are believing, knew it too. So the purpose of Jesus returning to the Father was so that together the Father and Jesus could send the Spirit to take Jesus' place among us, to be in each of us who would welcome this gift. He returned to the Father so as to send the Spirit and launch this long-awaited era of sharing life with God again. You remember the Garden of Eden. You remember how God would walk with the first man and woman in the cool of the evening breeze, the breeze being the presence, the symbol of the Spirit there even in creation. God would walk with the first man and woman in the garden, and they would talk. And God has always intended for us to share this kind of intimate life with God, a shared life as if you were living with a spouse, unpacking what happened each day, sharing joys and sorrows together, vicariously experiencing what the other experiences and drawing strength and connection and affection from one another. Feeling known, feeling safe, feeling love. That's always been God's desire for us to experience from God. And the sending of the Holy Spirit to live within us is the opportunity to recover that level of connection here and now with God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a baptism. It is an event. It begins when we begin to put our faith in Jesus. It's not necessarily something separate from that, but at least starts at that moment when we put our faith in Christ. It is something that happens to us. We don't do this to ourselves. It is the Spirit's action. It's the Spirit's initiative. It is something outside of us coming inside of us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is our way of demonstrating to God that we are open. We're putting our faith in Jesus. We're all in. And so therefore, we're open to the Spirit's coming. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit's demonstration of God's response to us that God is all in us, living in us. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a baptism. It's an action. It's an event. It is experiential. So just like at Pentecost, there are sights and sounds and sensations, evidence of the Spirit's presence working within us. The fact that we don't see that readily is really a failure of our Western mindset that has such a great emphasis on mind and reason that we've neglected the real felt presence of Spirit, the Spirit of God in our lives. Just because our worldview is too small to make room for our awareness of the Spirit, that doesn't mean that the Spirit is any less real. It just means we need to open ourselves to the signs of the Holy Spirit living within us. So how do we recognize the Spirit in us? If it is an event, the coming of the Spirit, and if it is experiential, how do we recognize it? Sometimes we've been told that there's a certain experience you're supposed to wait for to know that you've received the Holy Spirit. The experience of speaking in tongues or being slain by the Spirit. When you're in worship, you're so overcome by the Spirit, you just fall over. It doesn't happen in Presbyterian churches that often. We fall over, but not for that reason. And so we've been told there are these signs that if you have that sign, you know for certain. But the truth is that the Spirit comes in lots of different ways, really almost as uniquely as there are unique people in this world. And so we need to be open to any evidence of the Spirit coming within us. We begin to recognize the Spirit's presence by recognizing the Spirit as other, as different than us, yet with us. So our faith is different than a lot of world faiths that suggest that we are becoming gods ourselves. We're becoming God. We don't believe that. We believe instead that God's Holy Spirit comes to us and lives with us. And since we are not God, but in relationship with God, it means that there will always be a sense of I and thou with the Spirit. Always a sense of you and me with the Spirit. Me and God. The Spirit is always other and yet in relationship with us, in us. Now, don't take this illustration too far, but the coming of the Holy Spirit might be a little like the movie Alien. Have you ever seen Alien? It's a classic science fiction, terrifying horror movie. And the main plot of the movie is that there's something inside this person. And it takes them a long time to figure it out, that there's something other than them living inside their chest. Till the scary moment of the movie where this creature just comes lunging out of the person's chest and terrorizes everybody. That's not like the Spirit, but the sense of something other than us, living in us, distinct from us, yet in us, that is like the Spirit. And so the Spirit is other than us, but shares life with us. So the Spirit talks with us, guides us. The Spirit heals us from the inside out. The Spirit shows us the Father's purpose for us. The Spirit reassures us. The Spirit opens us to more and more of what the Spirit wants to bring. The Spirit frees us from bondage to shame and addiction and violence. These are just some of the ways that the Spirit meets us in experiential, real, felt, known, received ways that we can welcome if we just have the imagination that God actually has come to dwell in us. And each of these experiences is unique. This last week, I was praying over a difficult situation, and as I made my way through the week, I found each day that the Spirit was bringing one new insight to that issue that I was concerned about. Not all at once, but each day they came in installments. And it was so clear that this was not me. This was something outside of me being given me, like little stepping stones of where to go. It's one way of experiencing the Spirit. The Spirit heals us. The Spirit opens us, our awareness to things in our story, things in our heart, things in our mind that need healing. The Spirit, first of all, makes us aware of those and then creates a hope that something good could happen. And then the Spirit begins that transformation for us. Last night as I was going to sleep and praying about today's worship service, about how to convey the presence of the Spirit, I just felt this warmth, this weight on my chest, this otherness of God with me. And I said, thanks. Just thanks for that awareness that you're with me. The Holy Spirit has come. Our Western mindset makes it difficult, puts obstacles in the way for us to see the Spirit. So here's what I invite you to do. To make a very simple prayer. This prayer, Holy Spirit, if you are already present in me, how would you like to make your presence known? How would you like me to know that you're there? Holy Spirit, if you're really there, how would you like to reveal your presence? Open my eyes, help me to see you, help me to welcome you. And I can guarantee you the Spirit will answer that prayer. It may not be a one-day prayer. In fact, it's probably a lifelong prayer because each season of life, the Spirit will be coming in different ways to you. This is a way of living expectantly, openly, responsively to the coming and the baptism of the Spirit in your life. By praying that prayer, if you're present, show me how I should know you. You're making yourself open. You're indicating your willingness, you're paying attention, and you're noticing to whatever the Spirit chooses to do. That's all the Spirit needs. And the Spirit will reveal Himself to us. Let's pray together. Lord, we discover that this day is holy ground in human history. For many of us, we stopped at the coming and the death and the resurrection of the Son, not realizing that He had so much more in store, and that the Son just brought us to this moment in which You have come to dwell within us. God with us, now God in us. Other than us, yet sharing life with us and giving life to us the way You've always meant it to be. Forgive us for wanting to live only out of our heads and ignoring all the rest of life made available to You. And Holy Spirit, we pray that You would just blow open our imaginations, that You would raise our hope for more, that we would wait expectantly for You to make Yourself known and all the good that You would bring into our lives. That's our prayer. That You would not pass over us, that You'd not find us reluctant, but You'd find us ready and You'd make Yourself known. Your power, Your presence, Your affection, and that we'd be a changed people because we're living Your kingdom now. Take us there, we pray. It's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen.